It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime clocking in to end out your work week here at 6:03. We'll be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Have you cruising along nicely into your weekend. Tanner Carson and Will Stevens with you. No Julia Ramsey tonight. She had some pre-scheduled stuff she had to take care of. So me and Will just tag teaming it tonight, handling all our business. Will, you said it was weird just looking across the table and just seeing me. How do you feel about us two taking care of it tonight?
I mean, I feel confident. I feel confident in our abilities to run a radio show perfectly.
I feel pretty confident in myself too.
There's just like this one small piece that's missing, and so it's going to be hard, but I think we can do it perfectly fine.
A piece of our heart is gone.
Exactly.
A Julia-sized piece of our heart is just missing, at least for today. She'll be back next week, though. It's all good. It's all fine, though. So, got a lot of great stuff to get into on to Friday. Hope everybody had a fantastic into their work week if you are off work today. If not, just like I always say, just keep pushing through. You're going to take care of it. You're going to get it done eventually here. So just keep on soldiering on. Should we get into SEC Media Days, the conclusion today from Hoover? And, of course, the Friday always on SEC Media Days, that's when the media members, they make their selections for who will finish where in the East and the West of the SEC. They make their predictions for who will win the SEC championship, and they give you their picks for your preseason all-SEC teams. Love always dissecting the preseason predictions. I also love trying to compare years past, how accurate the media preseason predictions ended up being. Because that's always the thing, right? It always depends on where your team is. If you're going to have the mindset of either, oh yeah, I like this prediction here, I feel good about the media was accurate with this prediction, or if you feel your team got slighted, you're always looking up, oh, the media never got it right in this year or that year. They're always inaccurate. You have to take this with a grain of salt. So it's always fun times doing that.
I'm excited about it.
Shall we get into division winners?
I think we shall.
Should I start with the East in Tennessee, or should I tease it a little bit and start with the West? I think I want to start with the West.
I want to start with the West, too.
I start with the West because I got to get number one out of the way. It's duh, with 253 votes. Number two, you like how I didn't even say the name. Who would you think in the West got 253 votes to win the West? Ole Miss.
Arkansas, right?
No. Kind of the opposite, actually. Yeah, Alabama, number one, 253 votes. Coming in at second with 5 votes, got LSU.
I can see that.
No surprise right there. Have you already seen the preseason prediction? Have you seen the West?
I haven't seen the West. I saw the East.
Okay, I get to give you a little pop quiz here. Who do you think the media predicted to finish third?
Third in the West?
Yes. With no first place votes, by the way. Which is interesting because the 4th and 5th place teams have 1 first place vote each. But this team did not get any first place votes. They are predicted to finish third, though, according to the media.
Ooh. Is it Mississippi State?
No.
Auburn?
No.
A&M?
It is A&M. Texas A&M, no first place votes. Nobody was brave enough to give them a first-place vote in the West. Mm-hmm. However, they are predicted to finish third. That would be a solid season for Jimbo in year two. A third-place finish in the West, I mean, that could still equal a 9-3 regular season. Mm-hmm. That can equal potentially the way that the cards fall. You could get a New Year's Six Bowl invitation too.
Yeah.
Texas A&M has a murderer's row of a schedule.
Oh, their schedule is by far if not the hardest, one of the hardest in the nation.
You already have to play the teams in your own division. Then you got to go to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not even talking about your SEC opponents. So they have a tough go of it this year. But I think they're going to have a successful season. I could definitely see them finishing third. I could see them finishing as high as second. I don't think they would get past Alabama and win the West.
I don't think anybody's really getting past Alabama. I think LSU has a good shot of getting past them just because the game last year, even though it turned out into an Alabama blowout, it started out pretty competitive, I feel like. But I don't think A&M is going to be able to get past just because of how hard their schedule is. Because there's always fluke games that people drop, especially good teams. But when you have all these hard games, you're going to have to drop a few of them. There's no way they're going to be able to win every single game on their schedule and sneak past LSU or Alabama, I think.
Here's the other thing, too. I mean, they're drawing the East this year doesn't help them either because the week before they have to play LSU, they go to Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ouch. Ouch, man.
I mean, a little bit of karma for Jimbo for how he left Florida State, I guess.
I mean, I guess so. I guess if I was a Florida State fan, I'd be kind of like gleeful about this. But at the same point, I'd be worrying more about Willie Taggart and him probably nuking your program.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I'm Florida State, I'm not focused on anything except for how bad we performed last year.
Let's keep moving on here. Okay, fourth place with one first place vote. Who is predicted to finish fourth in the West here, in your opinion?
Auburn.
It is Auburn. The Tigers. Yeah, they got one first place vote. I need to find which media members voted for which schools, and I'd like to see like the logic behind thinking Auburn would win the West. I mean, it could happen. It seems like the years where less is expected of Auburn, they usually end up doing better, right?
Yes, yeah. That's
the way it has been under Gus Malzahn so far.
That's why he's always on the hot seat, because the 1 year you don't think he's actually going to do good, he does insane and gets his job security back. And then the years that, okay, he's got to be really, really good this year, he comes out in an 8-4 flat season with a senior quarterback in Jared Stidham.
I mean, the 2 years that he has surprised people and done really good, it was his first season, which he took a 3-9 team and took them to the national championship game. And then in 2017, he ends up winning the West, puts a pretty dominating performance over Alabama in the Iron Bowl as well. So it's more of an uphill battle this time, though. You're going to have to be starting like a freshman quarterback,
yeah,
of some kind. Is Gatewood the red shirt? I think Gatewood's a red shirt. Joey Gatewood, and you got Bo Nix, who could be a starter, and I know he's a true freshman.
I have no idea if Gatewood is redshirted, but I know Bo Nix is true.
It's going to be a tough go of it this year for Gus, but we shall see. We shall see. He's made it this far down Auburn by proving people wrong, I guess. All right, fifth.
State.
It is Mississippi State. Also with a first-place vote. I would also like to see the logic behind thinking Mississippi State having to replace what they have to on the defensive side of the ball, and also at quarterback as well. I would like to see the logic picking them to finish higher than Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't see that one happening.
I think they could. I think 3, 4, 5 right here, A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, it will end up being pretty much interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And I could even see some of them finishing as high as second. Like I said, Alabama's winning the West again this year. I wouldn't really feel like I was saying the truth if I thought that teams had a real shot to win the West that weren't named Alabama. But moving on here, no surprise here, Ole Miss is 6th, Arkansas is 7th. I think to nobody's shock.
Yeah, I don't even think I would interchange those. I think that's probably how it's going to finish out, unless Ole Miss, I mean, they haven't looked great, but if they come out and just look absolutely awful, maybe Arkansas won't be bottom this time.
Ole Miss will probably do good enough, as in getting 6 wins and making a bowl. I think you see some improvement with Chad Morse in Arkansas. I think that let me see the Owl Conference schedule here. I mean, you got to improve from 2-10, right? It's not going to look good if you pull out another 2-10 or 3-9 this year.
No, you got to go at least. And this feels weird to say, talking about an SEC football program, but you got to go at least 4-8 or 5-7 to show actual progress. And even then, that doesn't show much progress because you're still not at a bowl game.
Out of conference looks a little bit easier. I mean, they open up with Portland State. They got Colorado State at home in week 3. I mean, Colorado State could definitely give them a game. San Jose State the week after that. And then their homecoming game is Western Kentucky. So I'm going to think they improve at least to the level that they're not getting blown out by North Texas at home.
Yeah, no, that fake punt. Or not fake punt, but
the
that
fake return. The fake fair catch. That's
that,
what it was.
One of the greatest plays of college football last year.
So it's safe to say that Arkansas is at least going 4-8. They're at least going to have a 2-win improvement. I don't know about them beating SEC teams, though.
I don't know.
I mean, they got to go to Ole Miss. They have the game against A&M and Jerry World. They could win at Kentucky. I could see that happening. Maybe, depending on how Missouri looks at the end of the year, they could upset Missouri at home.
Yeah, I can see the Missouri game just because they could come out flat because of the postseason ban. That's the same thing that people have been talking about with Tennessee's chances against Missouri late in the season. So I could see that happening, but I don't think they will be able to beat Kentucky. That Colorado State game kind of excites me, though, because Colorado State has been a little bit chippy with some Pac-12 teams, D1 schools, and they've been a little chippy here and there, so maybe an actual test out of conference for them that nobody's really expecting, in my opinion.
And if I'm not mistaken, does our good pal Mike Bobo still coach them? Yes, he does. Fifth season, entering his fifth season. Mike Bobo, as Houston Crest once said. Yeah, I could see that happening. Maybe that might be an upset pick for that week three. Mm-hmm. I could see it happening. But if Arkansas, they get to 6-6, if they get to a bowl game, that's a great case to give Chad Morris a lot of money in an extension already.
Yeah.
You're Arkansas, given what you've been through, you would take what you can get at this point. So that's the West. Once again, let me go through the order here. 1-7. Alabama first, LSU second, Texas A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and then Arkansas. Any agreements, disagreements?
That sounds pretty sound. Of course, I mean, I'm with you. 3-5, I think, could be interchangeable. Even LSU could be interchangeable if they drop a couple games they shouldn't.
So maybe 2-5.
2-5, yeah. But I think Alabama's at the top, and I think Ole Miss and Arkansas are definitely at the bottom. And I don't think that's an unpopular opinion at all.
Well, that is your predicted finish for the West. Let's go ahead and give you the East. We'll get more time for the East in this next segment here, so we have time to digest it. We'll tell you where the media has predicted Tennessee to finish, as well as how they have the rest of the East Division shaking up here as Media Days concludes down Hoover, Alabama. Hit the first break of the program. Our number to get on the Nextdoor Home Network hotline is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Will greet you as you call in on this Friday here. Feeling good. We got that Friday feeling. We're taking it to the weekend. We're going to hit a short break here and come back with more overtime on the other side. Getting into the SEC East predicted order of finish here as Media Days came to a conclusion down there in Hoover. You had the media having their annual division predictions here, as well as the predictions for who will win the SEC. I already told you about the West. Teased it long enough. Let's get into the SEC East. Let's tell you where the media has predicted your Tennessee Volunteers to finish for this 2019 football season. Number one, again, like Alabama in the West, no shocker here, with 233 first place votes, you got the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Number two, with 21 first place votes. Again, no shock here for number two, Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators. I'm surprised they did not get more first place votes. I thought that was going to be the hot, hyped up team of this preseason would be Florida.
I can see that. I was a little surprised, too, that they didn't get as many first-place votes just because of the way the media has kind of been paying attention to them. But at the end of the day, people have still been realizing how many people have, like, been transferring, leaving, and just not – they're losing a bunch of team members. And so maybe people are trying to get off the bandwagon a little bit. I have no idea.
Third place here. This is – so you've seen the East.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you've already seen these. So with three first-place votes – coming in at third, you got the Missouri Tigers. Interestingly enough here, if the three people who did pick Missouri to win the East, if their prediction does come true, Missouri wouldn't even be in Atlanta because of their postseason ban.
So it would be the second team.
It would be the second team. So a few years ago when USC had their postseason ban, and it was, I think it might have been the first year that the Pac, it might have been the first year of the Pac-12 period, so they split the conference into divisions. Mm-hmm. USC, they won the South, but they could not compete in the postseason. Conference championship game considered postseason, obviously.
Of course.
So your second place was UCLA, who USC had just beat by 50 points the week prior. They were walking into that game at like 6-6, 7-5 as representing that division, and they got like housed by Oregon, or it might have been Stanford. I think it was Oregon that year. So yeah, that'd be the same type of thing. So I don't know. I wouldn't think Missouri would win the East, even with Kelly Bryant.
I don't think so. Hopefully, the East is a little bit more competitive than the Pac-12 South was, though. I mean, I don't think we're going to have a 6-6 team in second place unless everybody comes out looking terrible. But we got some strong teams in the SEC alone. But, I mean, in the SEC East alone. So I don't think we'll have that bad of a time like the UCLA Bruins did.
It was 2011. UCLA... went 6-6 in the regular season. Oh, man.
What was the final of it?
That was terrible. So the Pac-12 South was awful that year. You had USC, who went 10-2 in the regular season, 7-2 in conference. Then you had UCLA, who went 5-4 in conference. And even though their regular season record was worse than Utah, they just had the benefit of having the better conference record.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had to play Oregon. Oh, they had to play Oregon. Oh, yeah, that game was actually closer than I thought it was going to be. So here's how the season ended. So despite finishing above Utah, they did lose to Utah 31-6. They beat Colorado, end of the regular season. At USC, they lost 50-0.
Jeez.
And then they still had to go to the Pac-12 title game to play a top 10 Oregon team the next week. Put up a good fight, only lost 49-31.
That's pretty good.
And because they already had six wins, even though they were 6-7, they still got a bowl invite. They played Illinois in the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl in San Francisco and lost that one 20-14. So they finished 6-8.
I wonder how many 6-8 teams there has been over the course of college football history.
That's a good question.
That just seems like a really weird record to have at the end of the season.
I feel like there was one recently.
I mean, I can understand like a Western Michigan or like a MAC school doing that because they will play D1 schools, obviously, to make money. But I don't – dang.
I don't know. I'll see if I can find that somehow. But getting back to the East, though, so you got Georgia, Florida, Missouri, your top three. Number four, South Carolina, one first-place vote. Coming in at number five, predicted number five finish, your Tennessee Volunteers. Also, with one first-place vote, what a hero, whoever you were. Has the name been released yet? Has someone figured out who the member was?
I haven't seen anything.
Thank you, you hero, however deluded you may be. we appreciate you. I saw the great G-Man Balls on Twitter. He had the screenshot from Spider-Man 2. Of when Spidey stopped that out of control train from going off the bridge, mm-hmm. and he loses his mask in the process. He passes out because he had to use all his strength to stop the train. He got the whole crowd in the subway carrying him, like crowd surfing him, and they say, "Careful, he's a hero." That's our media member. It's like in Game of Thrones. I forgot where it was, but it was Daenerys just freed another city. Former slaves, and they're just carrying her up on their hands. I feel like that's how Vol Twitter is towards just media member, whoever he or she may be.
Just media member.
You hero. We'll have a statue in your Number six. Also with one first place vote, Kentucky. How do you justify giving Tennessee or Kentucky a first place vote? Seriously. I don't know how you can justify giving South Carolina a first place vote with the schedule they have.
These people who are giving one first place vote must be like prepared for the absolute worst of just Florida beats Georgia, Missouri beats Florida, and just everyone gets in a weird tiebreaker scenario. Because I don't see a logical reason South Carolina or Kentucky or even Tennessee would really make the top of the SEC East. Now, I hope I'm wrong about Tennessee. The other two schools I really don't hope I'm wrong about, though.
Maybe they're just doing this in the chance that, like you said, something crazy like that happens and they can say, yeah, look at me.
Well, it's like putting a dollar on a 1,000-to-1 odds of a team winning the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season just in case. Like, maybe that's what it is, just for bragging rights. Because at the end of the season, if we go to the SEC title game, that one media member can come out and be like, hey, that was me. Like, I'm a genius type deal.
And at last place, Vanderbilt.
Not surprised.
Right where they belong. Even though they got some players I'm still afraid of, like Keyshawn Vaughn, they did lose a whole lot.
They did lose a whole lot.
They lost a lot of a team that, you know, if it wasn't for Tennessee rolling over and dying in Nashville, they're not going to a bowl game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, seventh. Yeah, it seems about right here. Now, 1 through 7 here. Before I ask you about Tennessee, any agreements, disagreements on the East order finish?
I would put Missouri over top of Florida at number 2, but really the middle is always interchangeable because of how games can go and people can beat teams, obviously, how the season goes. I would say Tennessee should probably be 4th. I don't think 5th is right. I think South Carolina has it doesn't have as good of a team, and Jake Bentley, after his very promising first season when all we heard was he was a high school quarterback like 3 months ago type deal, he hasn't really done much at South Carolina other than just be an average quarterback. So I don't see them taking off, and I haven't seen any hype such as the hype for Garantano in this Tennessee offense. So I would say 4th. I wouldn't push us to 3rd, but I would switch Missouri and Florida.
Here's a note here. Only 7 times since the conference split into divisions back in 1992 has the predicted champion SEC Media Days proceeded to win the SEC championship game. However, the media did get it right last year. Of course, picking Alabama. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet right there. So, yeah, only 7 times. Only 7 times since 1992. You're not batting very well if you're the media when you want to try to make a prediction like that. But that is what it is, though. To be fair, it is just a prediction. Mm-hmm. We're not asking them to be a meteorologist.
Or, yeah.
And get right almost 100% of the time. Yeah. It's just educated guesses. So, of course, to no shocker, Alabama was far and away predicted to win the SEC championship. 203 votes. Georgia, obviously, since they won the East, they had the second most votes to win the SEC title outright. Mm-hmm. They only received 49 votes. So it's 203 votes to Alabama, 49 votes for Georgia. Now let's talk about Tennessee. 5th place finish for Tennessee. Agree, disagree, and if it does end up being a 5th place finish, is that considered progress?
I want to say I disagree. Like, I really do, because I really hope this team is as good as I think it is. But I can't go out like with my gut saying like this committee is flat out wrong that we are 5th. Like, I don't want to come out and say I'm disrespected or anything, because I think that's an accurate comparison. I don't think South Carolina is better than us, but I think they might be able to beat a couple teams that we might have struggles with just because it's not a rivalry game for them. And so we might finish 5th. Again, I would say probably 4th, but I think 5th is progress, because after going,
you were dead last
last year. Like, we were terrible in the SEC. Terrible. So if we can beat Vandy, Kentucky, South Carolina, I'll be fine. If we land 5th with losses to Bama, Missouri, and Florida and Georgia.
Your 5th place in the East last year was Missouri. They went 8-5 overall, so 8-4 in the regular season, 4-4 in SEC play. I'm taking a .500 record in a conference.
That sounds good with me.
I'm taking a .500 record with your slate, because let's say you pull off an 8-4, 4-4. That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. I would assume the 4 losses would be the 3 teams you're probably going to lose to, at Florida, Georgia, and, of course, Alabama. And then you pick a loss from Mississippi State, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. So the 4 wins, probably you beat the teams that you should beat, or at least go back to beating Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Maybe you get an upset win at Missouri. who knows by the end of the season. And definitely split Mississippi State, South Carolina home.
Yeah.
I take that deal.
I
take that all the time.
I don't oppose to going 8-5 and 4-4. That sounds beautiful to me. Now, 8-5, that 5 kind of sounds bad because I really would much rather win our bowl game that we haven't played in a while, but a bowl game is nonetheless a bowl game. So I just want to see postseason football.
Yeah, you definitely do. That'd be good getting back to that. As far as like getting to bowl game winner or losing it, well, let's cross that bridge in December. let's just get there first. You're coming off winning 9 games in the last 2 years combined. I'm not going to complain about anything.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So how about Kentucky, though? Coming off the best season they have had in 40 years of that program, predicted to finish 6th.
I mean, are they wrong, though?
They're not wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Like they had a good season, but they had Josh Allen at linebacker, and they had a really good defense to go along with a really, really potent rushing attack. Their quarterback, I'm sorry, is not that good, and they lost a lot of players on defense. I don't see them winning anything else, but I mean, I don't see them finishing anything else but 6th place.
I could see this type of finish happening. I could see South Carolina with the schedule they have. If they get too beat up, both physically and mentally, I could see them finishing 6th.
Yeah.
Like, I really could see this turning into a disaster season for South Carolina if it goes off the rails pretty quickly. So maybe I could see a finish like this. Georgia, Florida, Missouri in the top 3. Tennessee at 4th. Kentucky 5th. South Carolina 6th. Vanderbilt 7th. Maybe if it gets bad enough, maybe South Carolina dead last. Like they may be in danger of doing that bad, as is any team below 3rd, honestly. It could happen. Tennessee did finish last in the East last year. I mean, who's really to say, you know, we don't really want to talk about this, but it could be a possibility it happens again.
Yeah.
I mean, it just could. You have to be prepared for that. I'd be fine with 5th, though. I really would be fine with 5th.
Yeah, anything above last place, I'm fine with. 6th, I would be iffy about, but anything really above 7th place, I'm okay with.
Finish above dead last, beat Vanderbilt, get bowl eligible, then work on the other goals, like splitting Mississippi State, South Carolina at home, getting a road win at Missouri. I like this. I like this. This isn't it's a comfortable place to be, I guess, in this preseason
direction. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about maybe the pressure of being overhyped being upon you, and you don't have to feel like maybe it's all doom and gloom. Maybe the 5th place finish, maybe this still, I know the team's going to feel like they're still disrespected. Daryl Taylor's going to feel like he's disrespected. Mm-hmm. And that only leads to motivation, so be it. But I don't have a problem overall.
No, I'm fine with it.
When we come back, let's get into the preseason teams, though. A lot of good talk here about the preseason predictions. It's almost taken up a whole hour of radio. We'll give you Mount Rushmore at the end of hour number one, of course. But let's talk about these preseason all SEC teams. Maybe some other stuff we have time when we come back on the other side. Our number to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline is 865-546-8200 if you would like to weigh in on anything we have discussed so far. We got more overtime coming up after this short break. Stay with us. We ran through your division and SEC championship media predictions. Now let's go through your all-SEC preseason teams. Love the preseason teams, especially comparing them to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's an honor to make the preseason team, sure. But, you actually want to make the postseason team. I take that all the time, though. First team offense. Quarterback, no duh, Tua. Your running backs, you got DeAndre Swift of Georgia, Najee Harris of Alabama. Wide receivers, again, no shockers. Jerry Jeudy of Alabama, Henry Ruggs III from Alabama. Alabama's going to have a really good offense again. No shock. You got Albert O, because I don't even try to pronounce his last name, the tight end from Missouri. He's your first team tight end. Your offensive line, Andrew Thomas of Georgia, Alex Leatherwood from Alabama. I've never heard of this dude, but this is like an all-namer. From Auburn, Prince Tega Wonogo.
Never heard of
Wonogo,
him.
Or Wonogo or something. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. Okay, then. Jedrick Willis of Alabama, and at center you got Lloyd Cushenberry of LSU. Lloyd Cushenberry.
That's a lot of really good names.
All SEC center for the Louisiana State Tigers. Lloyd Cushenberry. That is the most English name I've heard in quite some time. Are you sure he doesn't wear a monocle and drink tea? And not, I don't tell that sweet tea. I'm talking about some hot tea. First team defense here. Defensive line, Raekwon Davis of Alabama. He still plays for them? Okay. Derek Brown of Auburn, Rashard Lawrence, LSU, Jabari Zuniga of Florida, linebackers, Dylan Moses, Alabama, Anthony Jennings, Alabama, Erol Thompson, Mississippi State, secondary, Grant Delpit, LSU, J.R. Reed, Georgia, Trayvon Diggs, Alabama, and C.J. Henderson of Florida. Would you like to know, Will, where Tennessee players are? On media preseason All-SEC team.
I would love to know where the Tennessee players are.
Well, change the tense to a singular.
I would love to know where the Tennessee player is.
The Tennessee player. The lone Tennessee player. I go to your specialist. I go to your second team return specialist, Marquez Callaway.
We got one.
We made it!
We got one.
We made it! It's okay. There's hope. The lone Vol. The lone Vol. And, yeah, not even a Vol on third-team offense or defense. Kind of shot that Daryl Taylor didn't at least make a third-team defense.
Yeah. Or Bryce Thompson. Bryce Thompson played really well last year.
To be fair, there's a lot of great defensive backs in the SEC.
That is true.
Daryl Taylor, though, he had a great year. He had a fantastic season statistically.
I don't know.
Not shot. That there's not even a ball on the third team offense. You could have maybe tried to make a Marquez Callaway argument, but he doesn't have as good a stats.
Who's the third team quarterback?
Joe Burrow, LSU.
Okay. Second
team quarterback, Jake Fromm, of course. Yeah, they got Joe Burrow as the third best quarterback in the conference.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but you do you, SEC.
All right, let's move on here. Going back to specialists, though. Only Marquez Callaway. I guess I'll name off some other specialists here. Rodrigo Blankenship still plays for Georgia. Oh, God. I have to see his goofy ass again.
He's the Perry Ellis of college football.
His goggles. He's your first team kicker. That's great. Alabama is the first team return specialist and all-purpose. Oh, they're both Jalen Waddle. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
Tommy Townsend of Florida, that's your first team punter. Tommy Townsend used to play at Tennessee, right? His brother was Johnny, correct?
I'm not sure on that one.
Because I remember, I think it is Tommy. Let me check. Pretty sure. Yep. So his brother was Johnny. So a transfer from Punter U. The transfer from Punter U now goes to Florida. He's your first team punter. Oh, that's great. That would just be great if it's a close game in Swamp. You have a former Tennessee punter. Like nail a kick right in the coffin corner. Get you at your own half-yard line late in the fourth quarter. That would be fun.
Yeah.
That's it. Do you feel any Tennessee players got slighted here? Or do you probably understand because you do have a roster that was 5-7?
I mean, I understand to an extent, like Alabama, Georgia, all these schools that have dominated for years are obviously loaded with talent, and there's no denying or getting by that. They're loaded with talent. I think they went a little Bama-heavy. And I think they could have thrown a little bit more of a mix. But if you're going for accuracy, I think they did it. But I think I would throw Joe Doyle on the watch list for punter. I think obviously, I'm a little biased. He came from Farragut. I watched
Joe
him.
Rules.
Yes. Exactly. Golden Toe Joe, as we called him.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, it was great.
That's actually incredible.
But and also, I was a little surprised that, again, Daryl Taylor, Bryce Thompson didn't make it. Garantano wasn't the third quarterback. I can understand Joe Burrow's, I guess, but I mean, I haven't seen anything great from him, but no one's really seen anything great from Garantano either. So, I mean, I don't think they made any drastic mistakes or slighted anybody, but I think there could have been a little bit more variety.
Just making for postseason, I guess. If you were to pick right now, out of offense, defense, special teams, you know, a whole, like, one, two, three teams, at the end of the season, how many Vols do you think would be on the postseason All-SEC team?
Total?
How many do you think? If you had to give me a number right now. Because I'm thinking, man, if you're going to improve like I think you're going to, especially if your offense takes huge steps under Jim Chaney, you have players on defense have good years like I think they will in Daryl Taylor, Bryce Thompson. I'm saying through three teams. I think four.
Yeah, I was thinking four, maybe five if someone comes out of the woodworks, but I was thinking four would be a reasonable number.
Four may be generous.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I'm thinking it could be four. Again, I'm thinking four because I think you at least have one offensive lineman has a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a Trey Smith who comes back.
Hopefully.
Which would be an amazing story as we were talking about during the break.
Give him a 30 for 30 for that. At least a short.
At the very least. Maybe you have a huge year from Ty Chandler.
I hope so. People are talking about he looks good, especially in the receiving game. Like, if you can get him involved in the receiving game, I can see him making second team, maybe third team All-SEC for a running back.
Overall, as we wrap up this preseason media days voting, is Tennessee respected, disrespected, or properly rated?
I'm going to go in between properly rated and disrespected, but leaning more towards properly rated. I think we haven't really proven ourselves that much, obviously, with the two losing seasons and having a lot of catastrophes happening in the University of Tennessee football. But at the same time, like, I mean, people should start to believe a little bit of the hype that's going around, because some of the hype is just hype, but some of the hype is actual facts. And I think we prove ourselves decently on the recruiting trail. I think Jeremy Pruitt has shown promise. I think all of our coaches have shown promise. And with a couple new hires, I think we should have been a little bit higher rated.
Tough conference, man. Tough crowd. That's just your reality of the situation. And I wouldn't have expected a lot of fanfare. Just coming off the couple seasons that you have had, Pruitt's still an unproven head coach. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of unproven pieces on the team, period. So I think it's fair overall. I'm going to say properly rated.
Yeah, I would lean more towards properly rated, but there's always that little piece of me that feels disrespected every time I don't see all Tennessee on the all SEC teams.
Hey, the way to fix that, though, have better players. Make better.
That is a very
actual on the field play. Very simple solution. You know, it's just we haven't seen it work out.
You want to win football games? Put the end zone in the ball or the ball in the end zone more.
Put the end zone in the yes, perfectly. the goal, score more points than your opponent. It's worked every time.
We're undefeated when we do that.
Except when you used to have ties. then that didn't work. But we got overtime to fix that now. We're on overtime and. For the last segment of hour number one, we're going to do what we've been doing all summer, give you our daily Mount Rushmore. Just me and Will giving our Mount Rushmore on the other side, so don't miss it here. And again, if you want to hop on the Nextdoor Home Network hotline, our number is 865-546-8200. Cruise along here on your Friday, back with more overtime right after this. Back on overtime for the end of hour number one here on your Friday. About to get into today's daily Mount Rushmore with an hour one dominated by college football talk. It's only right that we keep it on the same theme right here. So with today's Daily Mount Rushmore, we are going to give you our Mount Rushmore of college mascots who are not Smokey, because we cannot be biased, or at least we're freeing up one spot. So here we go. Mount Rushmore college mascots not named Smokey. Starting off mine here, I go up to the mountains of West Virginia, the Mountaineer, the live person mascot. I mean, he's basically Davy Crockett, right?
That's a good pick.
He's kind of supposed to be like a Davy Crockett ripoff, in my opinion. Tennessee has their own Davy Crockett. It's not an official mascot. This Mountaineer is kind of different. He's just an old 1800s pioneer mountain man. He's always got the big beard. Has the musket around. Anything with a gun, I'm pretty much always going to like. So, got the Mountaineer on here. Next up, one of the goat live animals. I love him so much. Mike the Tiger, down at LSU.
Did you see LSU's media club put together a little Lion King parody of Mike the Tiger and Edo?
I have not. That sounds incredible.
I'll send it to you during the break. It was beautiful.
Please do. That's something that would warm my soul. I mean, Mike the Tiger. How many mascots have their own huge single animal zoo exhibit like right in the middle of their campus? Not many. I'd probably say not many at all. So Mike the Tiger has one, though. So I love Mike the Tiger. Next up. Definitely one of the oddest mascots of all time. He's very notable just for being odd. Go to Western Kentucky, Big Red. What is Big Red? I don't know. He's just Big Red. But he's amazing. He looks like the bastard child of Grimace, you know, from the Ronald McDonald Gang. Finally, last one on my Mount Rushmore. Told you like anything with guns. This is someone who's also kind of a creepy looking mascot. But I got Pistol Pete of Oklahoma State. The gigantic head that the dude wears. I don't know how that doesn't cause neck and back issues. I don't know how the weight of that head doesn't cause you to tip over. Pistol Pete's incredible, though. If you also want to see something incredible, look at every Oklahoma State sporting logo. Or actually, like any logo of like any school. Like on campus, like a medical school, there's a Pistol Pete for like everything. They have a Pistol Pete for their golf team. It's Pistol Pete with the golf club. They have a Pistol Pete with a volleyball. I think for like their medical school, they have Pistol Pete with a stethoscope. It's absolutely incredible. Love Pistol Pete, and that is my Mount Rushmore. And by the way, quick shout out. Give a quick shout to what school is this? Delta State, the Fighting Okra.
Okra?
Fighting Okra. It's actually a dude who just dresses in a okra costume. It's okra with a face. I like it. It's unique. I'm a big fan. Will, give me your Mount Rushmore.
Start off, number one, the Stanford Tree. Always been a favorite. Played the NCAA video games and got the mascot mashup, if you've ever played that.
Love that mode.
Stanford Tree was always the funniest one to play with because he's just a giant tree that kind of looks like a garbage bag sometimes. Number two, the Wisconsin Badger. Now, I don't like Wisconsin as a school, but that badger, there's just something about it. Never mind, I'm not going to try to pronounce that word. But the pinstripes look beautiful. Number three, the Florida State Native American. I guess he's a Seminole.
Chief Osceola.
That's what it is.
Chief Osceola.
Probably one of my favorite memories is just watching college football as a little kid and watching him come out and stab it in the middle of that Florida State field. Just awesome. Awesome historical piece. And then to round out the bottom, shout out to the troops, the Army Knight, the Black Knight to be specific.
Yes.
Great costume, great mascot. That's my Mount Rushmore. I don't really have any honorable mentions. Those were all four I could think of that I really, really like.
Hey, good list nonetheless. Some other honorable mentions too. What's its name? But the Wichita State mascot, just a mean, menacing looking pile of wheat.
I mean, I know they're the Shockers, I believe, is...
The Shockers, which is supposed to be short for Wheat Shockers.
Okay. Well, big pile of wheat.
Wichita, Kansas, man, loves their wheat. Also, Otto the Orange from Syracuse.
Oh.
Otto the Orange is supposed to be, like, kind of, like, cute looking, I guess. It's not really intimidating, but it's just a giant walking orange. I can't really disrespect it. That does it for Hour 1 of Overtime. We got Hour 2 on deck, 865-546-8200 to jump on here. Be back with more on the other side.